Seattle's Susie Lee wants to change the way women are treated online and in the dating world. So she started a dating app called Siren. Users answer questions of the day, and their pictures are kept private, all in an effort to emphasize personality over the shopping for humans vibe that Susie was finding on other dating apps. But then, as she moved into this new world of being an app developer, she discovered the industry itself had some people problems. Susie ran into that as soon as she started meeting investors in Silicon Valley.
Think of, like, the straight, white, male bro dude. And by what I mean by straight white male is kind of a code and a shorthand for a particular kind of guy, right? Because you, Bill, might be a straight white male, but you might be a really good guy, right? And I know, like, you know, Asian and black men and even women who are kind of that, like, straight white male bro person. Mm-hmm. So when I pitched the idea to them, they thought, nope, Siren's going to fail because they felt that they were entitled to see everyone's photo and be able to judge them. And so these guys would say, if I don't see a woman's photo, it's because she must be ashamed of herself. She must be fat and ugly. And that was literally a quote that I would hear over and over again. So I thought there were, like, hidden cameras in the meetings because I just thought, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you really think this is why people feel that they need this kind of safety is because they're ashamed most of the time. And the guys were like, nope, that's not the way I look at life.
Well, how do you know that they weren't correct? They were deciding whether to invest in it, right? So
yep.
How do you know that they weren't correctly describing the attitude of the men who would look at the site and...
Yes, well, I would... So at first, of course, because people give advice, you think, okay, well, at least let me take this with an open mind. And so you just do feedback, right? You ask people whether or not this is something that they absolutely need. And over again... men would say, of course, we're visual creatures overall, but we want some substance, right? We want a little bit of help to start a conversation with somebody. We don't want to be an but these sites kind of make us in a way.
You described Silicon Valley investors. How do you find the Seattle tech world compares culturally to Silicon Valley?
There's a lot of trends that are kind of similar. I mean, there's a kind of an old boys network. And while they, I think, give lip service to, you know, asking and questioning diversity, their actions, I think, speak louder than their words. And so it's still very, very difficult for women and people of color to get funding. And if they do get funding, it's because they're almost far advanced than they should be as far as, like, you know, being a startup. I think that some of the bravado and the really, like, weird machismo that I see in San Francisco, I see less of here. It's a little quieter. It's a little more Scandinavian. But the tendency is still that when I go to, say, a CEO dinner, there will be 40 men and 2 women. And for me, I feel like they're getting, like, 2 boxes checked off on diversity. They get, like, person of color and women. So they're like, we totally have to get Susie on.
So it works to your advantage.
I mean, it can, but, you know, the sense of having an ecosystem in which you're one of very, very few means that you carry a much heavier burden, I think. And no matter what, it's like, you know, for a company, you still need money. And so, you know, instead of getting the $200,000, I would like to get the $2 million. So, hey, investors, if you're listening out there.
How do you feel you're treated interpersonally, I guess, as a woman in tech in Seattle?
I think there's... definitely a growing awareness that having an all-male team isn't good for any kind of company. It doesn't promote a different way of thinking or perspective. I remember there was a guy, and he shared the story, where he was trying to offer, like, why women were important to have in the key business decisions. And he was going to open up a gym. And he and his guy friends thought it would be super awesome to have female showers that were in public view and just lightly frosted. Uh-huh. And his wife, thankfully, like, looked at this proposal and said, that is the stupidest idea ever. You're never going to get a single woman in that shower. And I think it's things like that where, you know, guys just have a different way of thinking about things. And so having women or gender non-binary or, you know, someone who's very different than them sort of say, hey, wait a second, actually, there's another way to think about this. It just makes ideas more vibrant.
What effect, maybe Seattle men in tech don't know the effect they're having. What effect does that have on a woman trying to try to work and be in Seattle to have this kind of tone deafness?
Well, you know, there are definitely good allies as well. So, you know, I think that to cast everybody with this kind of aspersion is not accurate by any means. And particularly at a, you know, one-on-one level, you can have very healthy conversations. And in fact, one of our key members of Siren, who's not with us right now, but used to be with us, I mean, he was an ardent feminist. He was somebody who was a longtime coder. His name's David Golightly. And, you know, like, he's someone that in some ways I felt like I was learning feminism from him in a way. But for the ones who I think they have less exposure to women, they just, it's just not something that they think about. So, you know, what you want to have are like women in executive positions so that they can actually, I don't think that they're like, oh, I don't want to have women on my board or on my team. It's more that they just doesn't occur to them as the first level of thinking for a good business decision. So when you bake diversity into the DNA of the company, it means that those things don't matter ultimately to the company, because you're not saying, oh, the woman's now talking, we have to think a different way now. It's more like it's really about the ideas and the, you know, ultimate business goals, and not like, here's the person of color talking, here's now the woman talking. Those are things just get wiped off the table.
So based on what you know, how much do you feel hope versus despair, and why?
Let's use the analogy of you want to rearrange your room and redecorate it. So it's one way, it's not good anymore, you need to make changes. So what happens? You have to take everything down, you have to uncover everything, you discover like really gross things that you're like, I should have thrown this away a long time ago. And if anybody walked into the room at that moment...
Right. It would look like it just got... It's falling apart.
It's
just
total
got 100
chaos.
Times worse.
Yes. And then people are like, what did you do? Right? And, you know, in your mind, you're like, it's okay. I got this.
This is just the beginning.
Right. But you have to go through that chaos, right? Because if you really want to do a serious redesign of that room, it's not just a matter of, let's move this one object to this shelf. So I think that the ugliness and dirtiness that's getting exposed right now is like literally like it used to be in the closet. It used to be on that high shelf. Let's put it on the ground and let's see what we got and throw some of that stuff away. And so I do believe that it's going to get better. However, again, if we use this analogy, you can also just abandon that room and leave it like that. And it's just this like hot, holy mess. So there always has to be continued work and investment of energy to make sure that it does get redesigned in the way that you envision that it can be. And that requires everybody to kind of do their part to clean up that room.
Susie Lee is the founder and CEO of the dating app Siren. With its questions of the day, pictures kept private, we'll tweet out a link to it so you can look at it for yourself, @KUOW.